Good morning, everybody. It's always good to be able to be here on a Sunday morning, singing these songs of God together, songs that are encouraging to us, songs that praise God, and praying together and taking the time to learn from God's Word together. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're very excited and happy that you decided to come our way and worship with us. If you have any questions or you have any questions on the lesson or anything that we've said or done, feel free to ask. Let us know so that way you don't leave with a question in your mind today. But again, we're very excited that you've decided to come our way and we're thankful for your presence this morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about something that is misunderstood and how we can be more understanding. Something that is misunderstood and how we can be more understanding. But before we dive into this topic, I'd like to take the time to remind us of a few things that we've talked about here recently. Just a second. There we go. During our one-day lectureship, I presented a lesson talking about restoring the church, and we talked about understanding what the church is, understanding what the church is, and understanding that the church is more than just, you know, a building with four walls and where people go. The church is something that is commonly misunderstood. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that he was going to come and build his church. And the word there in the Greek, ekklesia, literally means assembly. Assembly. An assembly is made up of different parts, of different components. It's made up of different members. The church is an assembly of saints who gather together to worship, to bond, and to encourage each other for the glory of God. The church isn't some just abstract concept or entity. Rather, the church is the body of Christ and the members individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Last Sunday evening, Brother David gave the lesson, and he spoke to us about this fact from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he began in verse 12. There, Paul describes the church as the body of Christ, and the imagery is there. It's very easy to understand. Paul goes through, and he describes the body of Christ having hands and ears and a nose and eyes. And we understand that all these pieces have to work together to have a fully functioning body. And that's how the church is, each one working together for a purpose. David reminded us last week that, you know, how the body is supposed to be connected. If you stub your toe or you hit your funny bone, which, again, we still don't know how it got its name, your whole body reacts. And you can't help it. It's automatic. Your body's going to react if there's a source of pain. And that's how the church is. The church is the same way. If one member is hurt, then we all feel that pain. We all hurt with that member. If one member is joyful, someone's getting married soon, then we rejoice with them and we're very happy. When one member is sick and we come together, we pray for them. And sometimes we wish that we could take that pain, at least a piece of the pain, away from them. If you're like me, you know, I wish I could take at least a little bit of the pain away from Brother Jim or Sister Deborah as she's recovering, or Brother Don Gibson or Sister Brooks when she's not feeling so well. You know, if I could take a piece of that pain away just for an instant, you know, I would. And that's the way the church is. I know that many of you, if not all of you, feel the same way about the people that are sitting to your right and to your left. And that's what the church is. That's what the church is about. An assembly of members working together for the glory of God. But sometimes that can be misunderstood. Before we get into the meat of this lesson, I want to share with you a time that I misunderstood somebody. A time that I misunderstood somebody. This picture above is kind of funny, but it'll make sense here in a moment. I worked at a middle school, and I worked in their after-school care program. The students, at the end of the day, they would get out of their classes, they would come into the cafeteria, they would sign in with me, they would go into the lunch line, get some food, and sit down for a snack before we got things going. And this was very typical for that to run very smoothly. They were pretty good kids. There was a teacher lounge that was off to my right, where the teachers would go and eat, and inside of the lounge, there were two vending machines. one of the days, my first week of work, the students were coming in, they were checking in with me, and I noticed a student out of the corner of my eye in the teacher's lounge. So I opened the door, I peeked my head in, and I saw a young lady with straight black hair, with her arm completely inside the vending machine, trying to get a bag of chips. And I sat there at the door with a face of just pure bewilderment that a student would try to do this with me standing so close by. And as I looked at her with complete bewilderment on my face, she looked back at me with the same confusion on her face. Same confusion. She slowly took her hand out of the vending machine. She got her backpack, put it on, walked across the room, walked by me, and sat down at a table. Didn't say a word. So this, it just threw me off. I was just, wow, how could this have happened? I went back to signing in the kids, and when I got done signing in all of the kids, I went over to my supervisor to let her know, you know, that we have this student here who is very bold in wanting to steal things out of vending machines. So I went to my supervisor to let her know what had just happened, and as I was explaining it to her, she began to smile. And then she chuckled a little bit. And this really bothered me. Her response really threw me off because I didn't find the situation to be funny at all. You know, how could a student be so bold to do this in front of me and just have complete disregard for me standing there? You know, I was rather offended. But my supervisor told me, don't worry about it. She's in my classes and she's working on it. So that response confused me. I didn't say anything out loud, but in my head, I'm thinking, working on what? Is she working on being a thief or something? What is she working on? I don't understand. My boss could tell that I was a little bit confused, and she went a little bit further. She explained to me that this girl had been diagnosed with kleptomania. This young girl had the inability to resist the powerful urge to steal things. Things that had absolutely no value to her at the time. And throughout the year that I worked there, I got to know this girl a little bit better. And she was a wonderful student. She was one of the most, she was a quiet girl, but she always participated in everything that we did. But every so often, I would find her with a student's backpack on her lap and her hand would be rummaging through it. And I would come over and tap her on her shoulder, and she would look confused and take her hand out of the bag and zip it back up and put it back where she got it from. This young lady had a mental illness that she was dealing with. I completely misunderstood her the first time I saw that manifest itself. So you may be asking yourself, why am I telling you this story? You know, what does this have to do with the church? You know, what does this have to do with me? Why should I care? Why should I care? How blurry is that? Not too blurry. You and I should deeply care because mental illness is a real thing that affects real humans. There are 43 million Americans that have a mental health condition right now. Now, about half of those individuals have a substance abuse problem as well, so that leaves about 21.5 million Americans living with a mental condition, a mental illness that is not influenced by drugs or alcohol abuse. So statistics would tell me that as I look out over this podium this morning, that there may be two or three of you that are dealing with a mental health problem right now. Why should we care? Because even if you're not living with a mental health condition, understand that your mother or your son could be living with clinical depression. Understand that your boss or your favorite coworker could be living with anxiety that they can't control. Understand that the person to your right may actually have a schizophrenia complex. Understand that the person to your left could be dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder from something that happened in their past. I think this is an issue that shouldn't be overlooked by the church because it can and probably will affect us all at some point of our lives. I'm thankful, again, that we had the lesson that we did this past Sunday, explaining that the body of Christ is made up of so many different members, and we all are knit together. The church is made up of you, it's made up of me. An assembly of workers working together for the glory of God. That's how the church is built. And so I think part of the reason that mental illness is overlooked in the church at times, it comes down to the way that we tend to look at the church versus the world. We see two bubbles, the church and the world. On one side, we see all the good attributes that we read about in the scriptures that we should have as a part of us, of love and virtue, godliness, faith, perseverance, and so on. And these are things that we view inside this kind of abstract concept of the church. And then on the other hand, we have the world with all the worldly things inside of it. And there we place things like depression or ADHD or anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder. But I don't think this is the way that we should view the church and the world. Rather, I believe looking at the church and the world, rather than looking at them as places where there's these different attributes, I believe the more biblical way to look at the church and the world is to understand that they're where people are located. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that either we are conformed to this world or we're transformed for a new purpose. Either you are in the world or you are part of the body of Christ, the church. So the church and the world are not made up of these different attributes that we saw before. Rather, the church and the world are both made up of individuals. The attributes that we talked before, the love, the faith, the self-control, that's supposed to be within each and every one of us. And we make up the church. At the same time, some of the attributes that we sometimes see as part of the world are really things that affect all of mankind across the board. There are some in the world bubble that have PTSD, and there are some in the church bubble that are dealing with depression. There are some in that world bubble that are dealing with panic disorders, and there's some in the church bubble that are dealing with schizophrenia. There are some in both the world and the church bubble that are dealing with cancer. Mental illness is just that. It's an illness. It can affect us all, and it does affect us all. That's the interesting thing about illnesses, is that they never discriminate. Now, yes, there are things that you can do to increase your chances of having an illness, but the fact still remains that there are some things that you can't control. How we view mental illness has an impact on those that are living with them. A study was done in 2014. A survey was sent out to many Americans that are living with mental illnesses, and they had to answer questions about their church attendance. And so they whittled out the ones who attended church or had attended church about more than once a month. And out of those individuals, 23% of individuals with a mental illness said that how people in the church responded to my mental illness caused me to stop attending church, change churches, or stop looking for a church altogether. Stop attending church, to change churches, or stop looking for a church altogether. The response that they got because of what they were dealing with. I pray and I hope that the attitudes and the response of the members in this congregation would never push your soul away for something that they cannot control. The main goals of being a Christian is to live righteously and to bring souls to know Christ. That's our main goal. And this study shows that our attitudes towards mental illness may be a deterrent for someone getting to know Christ. That's something to consider. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. There Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now I do this for for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. So what is Paul saying here? What is Paul saying? You have to connect with people before you can minister to them. Paul understood that. We need to understand mental illness so that way we can minister to our brothers and our sisters who are dealing with it every day. We need to understand these different issues that people are dealing with so that way we can effectively spread the story of Jesus with the world around us. If this is something that we ignore, if this is something that we stigmatize, if this is something that we belittle, then we're doing the gospel a great disservice. Before we get into the application part of our lesson this morning, I'd like to share with you a conversation that I had with a very, very close friend of mine. This is someone that used to meet with us here at South Seminole that now lives in another state. I won't say her name because I don't know if she knows that I'm talking about her this morning, but I do know that she wouldn't mind me sharing what we talked about. My friend is one of the 21.5 million Americans who are living with a mental illness that has nothing to do with substance abuse or alcohol abuse. She's been living with a mental disorder since she was in middle school, perhaps before, but now she's in her 30s. Throughout the year, she's seen many different therapists and has gotten different diagnoses along the way. She had been diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. She's been diagnosed with depression before. Later on, she was actually diagnosed with a schizophrenia complex and a sensory processing disorder as well. And so yesterday, as we were on the phone, I asked her if there was one thing that you wish the world would understand about you and about mental illness in general, what would that one thing be? And she was very open and very honest with me, and instead of giving me one thing, she gave me three things. And so I want to share that with you this morning. First of all, she said that she wishes people would understand that mental disorders are not bad or evil. They're simply a part of her, something that she has to live with, and something that she is dealing with through medication and therapy and other things. Just because she has a mental illness doesn't mean that she's a lesser citizen of the world. It just means that she does some things differently sometimes, or thinks about things in different ways. Second, she told me that she wished people understood that the majority of mental disorders have nothing to do with intellectual ability. And I can attest that to be the truth. My friend, she scored over 300 points higher than I did on the SAT. I have a degree in aerospace engineering. I did pretty good on my SAT, and she scored 300 points higher than I did, even with the mental illnesses that she has. It has nothing to do with intellectual capability, and she wishes people would understand that. She was explaining that sometimes when she's talking to people and they find out that she does have, a schizophrenia complex and this sensory disorder, that they start talking down to her. They'll treat her as a child and some of the things that they say, where really she just wants to be treated just like everybody else, something that we need to be aware of. Finally, she wished that people would understand that she isn't antisocial. And this is the way that many people with mental disorders can be viewed sometimes. She explained to me that since she has a sensory processing disorder, and sometimes she gets overwhelmed in situations that you or I wouldn't feel overwhelmed in. When there's a large group of people talking, it may just get to the point where it's too overwhelming to her and she can't focus anymore. And when that happens, some will blow up and scream or kind of have a meltdown, but she's the opposite. Instead, she'll get very quiet, she'll get very still, and she'll kind of retreat into herself. And she said that people don't understand why she's not talking. And she knows that she's given off a bad impression because of that. And she's tried to explain to others that she's not trying to be rude. She is not that she doesn't like the person or the conversation. In fact, most of the time it's the complete opposite. She's loving the conversation. It's just that she's a bit overwhelmed with her senses. Even the touch can make her overwhelmed. And so sometimes she needs to take a break during conversation and then come back to it. These are the things that she is living with and is taking medication for that sometimes is looked down on or stigmatized. This is something that we need to be aware of. And so the question this morning is, what do we do with this information? What do we do with this information? As members of the body of Christ, we need to understand that there will be brothers and sisters that will have to deal with mental illnesses. There will be people that we're evangelizing with that are dealing with a mental disorder. So what should our response be? First of all, be compassionate. Be compassionate. Like our scripture reading this morning said, I'll read it again. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. We need to put on tender mercies. We need to bear with one another and put on love. And I love the reason that it states here. Why? Because we're called in one body. We're called in one body. So that goes back to the concept of what the church is. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that we need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Having a mental illness, having any illness for that matter, is something that's very difficult to bear at times. I've been fortunate I haven't dealt with those things, but I've spoken to many who have. And I know that getting the cards that we send out can be so encouraging to people. We need to think about that in the same way with these mental illnesses as well. Let's make sure that we're being compassionate towards each other. And not just that, but looking for opportunities to bear with one another. Also, we need to make sure that we're being open and honest with each other. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and verse 29. Family, we need to be truthful with one another. Not just about these issues or mental illness, but about all things. I know sometimes I'll be walking down the hallway and someone will say, hey, how are you doing? And very quickly I'll say, I'm doing okay. Knowing, you know, deep inside, that's not really a truthful answer. If I don't share these things with my fellow brothers and sisters, or at least the ones that I'm really close with, then how can I truly say that I'm being a member with them? If we're not being honest with each other, how can we truly say that we are members of each other? It's hard to bear someone's burden if you don't know what it is. It's also hard to bear someone's burden if you don't share yours. At the same time, we are to speak words that are good for necessary edification. Words that are good for necessary edification. Words that are there designed to lift up and encourage. This is something that I think that we are very good at here. I've had many encouraging words over the years. I'm sure all of you have experienced the same thing. But let's just keep this in mind as we're speaking to anybody. Words that are necessary, words that are good for necessary edification to impart grace to each other. Again, statistics would tell me that there are some of you here this morning that are dealing with these problems. There are some of you who might be dealing with depression or anxiety or have had a bad experience or are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. There may be some who even have a schizophrenia complex. like my friend does. You would never know, having talked to her so many times. Church, let's make sure that we can talk about these things with each other. Let's make sure that we are talking about these things with each other. Let's make sure that this is not a topic that becomes shrouded in stigma and ignored and pushed it aside. If you're dealing with this illness this morning, I hope that you will know that your brothers and sisters in Christ are here for you and hopefully are now a little bit more educated after this lesson this morning. That same study that I mentioned earlier found that 40% of individuals with mental illness said that how people in the church responded to my mental illness caused me to stay in the church I already attended. So more decided to stay in a church than to leave or to stop looking or to change to another congregation. It's my prayer this morning that the members here will be supportive, will be understanding, will be compassionate, open and honest with each other, especially towards those who are living with mental illness. If you're here this morning and you're in need of prayers from the church, please let us know. Also, if you're here this morning and you're ready to be added to that body, become a member of that body, ready to work together for the glory of God, you have this opportunity to come forward as well. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.